Welcome to Horizon Podcast, a podcast empowering women to heal, overcome trauma, embrace change, and through our community, we strive to inspire women to create a future where they lead with love, confidence, and courage, helping break boundaries and reach new horizons. So today we have our first guest at Horizon Podcast, and I'm so excited to have her here. And I've been praying to God, and He answered, and I have my beautiful friend Ashley here.
What's up, guys?
And I'm sure you guys know her from Todo En Vida podcast and South Korea by Ash. So I'm so excited on today's episode. So, you know, we have the same birthday month.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday was just a Saturday. Her birthday's coming up.
Yep, on the 15th.
And, you know, I don't know. I feel like we all do this. We kind of reflect on, you know, our year.
For
we
sure.
Reflect on, you know, what's coming up. How do you feel about turning 28?
I feel like 28 has definitely been a pivoting point for me because I spent majority of my 20s in survival mode. And definitely so now that I'm turning 28, I think a lot of people can relate that I'm at a point where I want to thrive in my femininity. And that's taken experience, that's taken trials, tribulations, and honestly just time and age.
Right.
You know? When I was younger, I felt like I was such in survival mode mm-hmm. that I didn't have time to worry or be able to nourish my femininity, yes. right? Whether that was like polishing my looks or just like, not just that, because that's kind of like surface level femininity.
Yeah.
But I didn't really have the ability to be able to nourish that aspect of my life.
Right.
Being in survival mode really caused me to carry a lot of masculine energy with me, if I'm being completely honest, you know? And I think that a lot of us are guilty of that.
Oh, definitely.
When we don't feel safe, I think masculine energy comes out a little bit more. And I think you're more tolerant to it when you're younger versus once you start to get older, you start to see like, I want to surrender. I want to be more feminine. I want to be able to be led, you know?
I agree.
But with that age and time also comes the wisdom of being able to identify where your femininity can poke through, mm-hmm. like come out, you know,
right.
better said, because when you don't feel safe, your survival instincts hit.
Correct.
But when you start to be able to really center yourself in your faith, you're able to distinguish like, okay, I'm not safe here, so I can be feminine. It makes me feel more in survival.
Mm-hmm.
But if I pull away and I kind of just center myself in my faith, I'm able to really depict what's safe and what's not. And when it's safe, that's when I'm in my feminine.
And we're not just always walking around in our masculine.
No. I think, too, being able to embrace your femininity is also embracing and accepting masculine energy, too.
100%.
Right?
I think that because we walk around in it, well, you know what? When we talked about this the other day, and thinking back, like you said, we're in our masculine energy, and I think that we also didn't know the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think what you said right now, surface level femininity, mm-hmm. that's what a lot of us walk around with as women, right? But we don't really know the in surface, right? The in depth of real femininity and what it comes with.
So I think just so that the audience can kind of get a better idea, right? Because mm-hmm. we were able to talk about it off camera, but surface level femininity is like looking good, smelling good, cooking, cleaning, right? It's just really surface level.
Yeah.
We think that by doing those acts of love or acts of service that we're intact. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not that. It's being able to submit, surrender, and be vulnerable.
Yes.
So I think what has truly helped me is walking in my faith. Because when I'm able to submit and be vulnerable with God and just surrender all my worries to Him, uh-huh. then I'm able to be more in tune with my intuition. Which all women have that, right? But we need to be in tune with it.
A lot of us don't know how to use that. And the more we use it, the better and the sharper it gets, for sure.
But where a lot of women say, and I've been said this on a few of my episodes, even the one that I had you on,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know how to let go of control and I would like to.
We're all guilty of that, for sure.
So when I was able to acknowledge that, like, hey, I'm getting tired. Like, I want to let go of the masculine energy that I possess. I had to hold myself accountable as to why. And that was because a lot of us, even myself, tend to be in survival mode a lot of times, right? So in order for me to embrace my femininity, I had to pay respect to masculine energy. And the difference between surface level masculinity is like having the flashy stuff, a nice car, money, bling, all that stuff, or, you know, being able to be the loudest person in the room, whatever that looks like for most men that don't really have that center and are in tune with their faith as well, right? Because then once we're able to see, well, like, it's not just about that. It's like, well, how can you lead? How can you problem solve? How can you also...
how can you handle my emotions when I'm not okay sometimes? Yeah. How can you be there for me, right? When it really matters.
Yeah.
When I'm upset, when I'm sad, when I'm...
And
how do you handle that?
A lot of times us as women, I feel like we tend to want a man to cater to our emotional needs, right?
Yes.
And because we are emotional beings, but we also have to be able to respect masculine energy.
I 100% agree.
And men, they're not always constantly looking for cuddles and, you know, affection. They're looking for... you know, validation, appreciation. They're looking to be trusted, mm-hmm. trusted to lead, you know, because a lot of times I think that we think we're nourishing a man, right? Or like we're nurturing a man, sorry. Mm-hmm. We're nurturing a man by giving the type of love that we would like to receive, right? So we give that to them. Mm-hmm. And it's like when they don't reciprocate that, because that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for, like I said, appreciation, validation, respect, and things like that. We tend to get frustrated and we kind of play a part in our own suffering because we overplay our part, mm-hmm. and then get upset when it's not being reciprocated.
Correct.
So it's like over time, I had to learn with experiences and with time that it's like, okay, if I want to be in my feminine, what does that exactly look like? And yes. why have I not been able to be in my feminine?
Yes.
And be able to distinguish when it's safe for me to be in my feminine. Because sometimes, right, we'll come across the wrong people that are probably surface level
yeah.
masculinity. And what ends up happening is we end up realizing we're truly not safe when it comes to the in-depth trials and tribulations that come with either a relationship or building a family, building a marriage, yes. whatever it is, yes. you know? And so once we see that, our guard goes up.
And then that's when we start to walk into it and we're not able to show our femininity true mm-hmm. to what we stand.
Or what we do is we tend to overpour. And like we see like, okay, like it's not safe and survival mode goes up. But we figure like, okay, well, you know what? If I look good, smell good, clean good and cook good.
Bears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I will receive that back. But it's like, no, you have to be able to walk in your faith that will allow you to align with your intuition. And once you can do that, you're able to see like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And your intuition will know. It will guide you and it will tell you mm-hmm. when something is not okay.
I think it takes time, like with anything, right? Because I think like people listening right now, they'll hear us and they'll be like, wow, like they really have how to be in tune with their femininity down. And it's like, no, it took time.
It took us a lot of work and a lot mm-hmm. of reflection. And it took us a lot of, you know, I think, for me, I was able to also look back at my past relationship and see what did I do and what did I not do, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't just him. It was also what role did I play yeah. to the relationship?
Holding yourself accountable to that.
100%.
Because I'm guilty of doing that too. You know, when I was 21, 22, 23, you know, when I still had all that energy, like you couldn't tell me nothing. You know? But then... real life situations started to happen. And because I couldn't respect masculine energy, mm-hmm. I was just so stuck in my ways of like, nah, you're not validating me. You're not doing this. You're not doing that.
You're not being a man.
And all I'm doing is nurturing you. And I didn't realize that by nurturing him, I made him feel like he was being controlled. And then here I am complaining because I'm like, well, I'm overplaying my part and I don't see you doing X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I never even gave him the trust to be able to execute that. And nope. So now that I look back on that and I'm learning and I'm evolving and I'm learning to respect masculine energy because I want to be in my feminine, I'm right. like, I played a part in my own suffering. And along the way, I emasculated this person.
We tend to do that when we, mm-hmm. I think also, you know, control. I think you keep bringing that up and it plays a huge role in our relationship. It's mm-hmm. like you said, it's learning how to surrender and be vulnerable. And that's, femininity is walking in your softness too. Mm-hmm. And what we're not saying is just walk in it to anyone. They have to be able to also make you feel that. And you, to me, I think in a relationship where we both understand and we're emotionally mature and we've gone to through things and we self-reflected, right, mm-hmm. we will know how to play our role properly and treat it right and correctly and let them lead and be masculine, right?
Yeah.
And I think that will allow us to fall into our femininity as well.
Yeah. I know, like, because, I mean, if we're completely transparent on this podcast, you know?
Let's be transparent.
We both were married, right? Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, I will say our marriages were a little bit different, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why is because, and I'm like, I'm sure you've shared it on here before,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, but maybe we're open.
It's like there was substance abuse in your marriage, right?
Yes.
From your partner, right?
Yes.
And so I think that that definitely had your survival instincts come all the way up.
Yeah.
So I, you know, along with femininity is being merciful and graceful with yourself.
Yes.
So I see why with you, it was constant survival mode. It was not being able to allow that person to lead because there was an issue with substance,
correct.
You know, substances. Mm-hmm. So como dicen, no estaban en sus cinco sentidos, you know? They,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I think like with me, I can truly reflect and see that I just didn't surrender. Like I did not surrender myself to God in my marriage.
Okay.
I didn't surrender myself to my partner to give them that trust and give them that confidence.
Okay.
So then after that ended up happening, I ended up realizing like we're so quick sometimes to, well, at least me as well, I was guilty of it, just being like, well, they did this and they did that
yeah.
and they weren't doing this and they weren't doing that, right? That I look back on that and I'm like, along with being feminine is, yes, of course, being graceful with yourself, but it's also being able to surrender where you were wrong at.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like being graceful with, in you, your case, right? Mm-hmm. That it's like you couldn't let that survival instinct down.
Correct.
Because, again, because of the issue of substances, right? But in my case, I think I just wasn't walking in my faith enough to be able to give this person the trust and the appreciation.
And you know what? Let's talk about that because, you know, I'm talking to in my audience, you know, my situation was, you know, there was abuse, there was things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in yours, there's a lot of marriages kind of similar to yours where mm-hmm. there's misunderstandings as far as communication and allowing the partner to do and talk about, you know, and like you said, be vulnerable and surrender and allowing them to lead. And mm-hmm. I think especially women that are used to doing so much, right, we're used to that control. And at times, I mean, I do look back at my situation and I also reflected on what I did and didn't do. Of course, it's different, right? But at the same time, I want to be able to show up properly mm-hmm. for my next relationship, right?
Yeah.
So for you, for the women that, you know, have a marriage where maybe the communication is not intact or maybe they're not allowing the man to be a man,
mm-hmm.
right? What have you realized that you did or didn't do, right, in
yeah.
your marriage, right?
Yeah.
Your previous marriage.
I think that, like how you said, like sometimes we don't allow them to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that comes with ego and pride. And
yeah.
I think that ego and pride are very strong, I don't know what you would call them, characteristics, attributes to have to yourself,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
And that's not a feminine energy.
Not at all.
So when I reflect back on that, I think that looking back, I wasn't really centered in my faith. Like I didn't surrender. I didn't. But also to being gracious with myself to realize like all I knew was survival.
Yeah.
And so then when I got into my marriage, I was like, okay, I have to allow someone else to lead. But it's almost like you're on a treadmill, mm-hmm. you press stop,
mm-hmm.
and you want to allow them to lead, but the treadmill underneath you is still going while you're willing to stop.
Yeah.
Because I'm programmed to constantly be in my survival. So mm-hmm. that's where I needed a little bit of patience, but I also needed to surrender. And I also needed to be vulnerable. And that wasn't something that I was willing to do. Also too, I think many women are guilty of playing a part in their own suffering where like they tend to overpour and they want to change a man, right? So like, I'll give you an example, right? It's like, okay, I cleaned the house 3 times this week. Why have you not cleaned once? And then it's like, okay, you're complaining that I'm not cleaning, but I made sure I cleaned the backyard though.
And we're not acknowledging what they are doing. What we do, and definitely guilty of that, is we pay attention to what you're not doing. And I don't think we sit back and acknowledge.
Or we give what how we do. Would like to receive.
Yes.
So then when they don't give it to us the way that we are giving to them, right? Because we don't tend to respect that masculinity. And it's like, he didn't ask you to clean the house back to back this week. He asked you to trust his leadership. He asked you to give him that admiration. Yes. He asked you to give him that respect.
Yes.
And now looking back, it's like too often we try to change their masculinity to the way that we would like to receive it.
Yes.
Instead of just embracing it. And I think what ended up happening is that I had someone there to try to be a protector. But I was young and I thought I knew everything, right? And so then
let's be honest, the way that we're brought up has a huge role in the way, you know, we're raised by a single mom. So that's all I know. Mm-hmm. That's literally all I know. I fend for myself. I protected myself. And it's funny you say that because I remember clearly, you know, as a relationship, I was with him for 13 years. So we did have some good moments. And I remember years into our relationship, he was like, let me get the groceries. And I was like, no, I got it. And he's like, let me be the man. This is what I do. And I remember, oh, yeah, that's right. But it's because I was brought up doing everything. Right?
And that's called surrendering.
And I didn't allow it.
That's also playing a part in our own suffering,
oh,
right?
For sure.
And it takes reflection, because I feel like when you have the person there, you're able to target someone to blame.
Right.
Right. And then you spend enough time alone and you spend enough time in your masculine energy.
And you're like,
you get tired of it.
You do.
And then you realize, like, oh, this is what they were trying to do. Or this is where they were trying to lead.
Yeah.
Now I'm forced to lead, but I'm seeing it on my own. When instead, if I would have just probably surrendered, we could have met in the middle. So I definitely think it's being able to live in harmony between feminine and masculine energy.
I love that.
Being able to respect masculinity, mm-hmm. being able to distinguish the difference between surface level masculinity mm-hmm. and in-depth masculinity that has substance, which is someone that can lead, someone that can lead you in your faith, like someone that can, you know, uphold that respect as well to your guys' relationship, whatever it is, you know, because at the end of the day, that's kind of what it comes down to. It comes down to it, that playing a role in relationships, because outside of that, when do we really experience masculine energy? Aside from our survival instincts, we don't. It comes from men, mm-hmm. you know?
And then, you know what? I think that with this generation, what I've noticed, I mean, our generation too, though, but it's, how would I say it? I don't want to say that people lead with pride and ego, right? But it's kind of like, who's going to hit me up first, or who's going to reach out to me first? There's no, I don't think we know how to walk in that internal femininity, not just outer. We can look pretty. We could be a bad bitch all we want, right? But when people say, what do you bring to the table, right? It's not like I bring a career. I'm able to provide kids, or, you know what? I have a job. I have a bit. It's not that. It's literally internal, right?
And it's like, it should be like, hey, I'm willing to trust my intuition to be able to see whether or not this is a safe place. And if it is a safe place, right? Because we both have to live in harmony.
Correct.
You have to allow me to feel safe and I have to allow you to lead. Once we can live in harmony and I see that it's a trustworthy place to be in, then you know what I can do aside from cook, clean, and smell good and look good? I can surrender to you.
Exactly.
I can be vulnerable. I can allow you to lead, you know? And back down to how you were saying, like, we weren't raised that way. Yeah. I think also, too, being in touch with your femininity is being gracious with yourself.
And it's 100%.
Also being forgiving of yourself. Because same way, like me, I was raised with all brothers. I was raised by my dad. Even when I saw my dad briefly with my stepmom, there was never, like, no flowers. There was never any, like, admiration. There was never any acts of love. So I always thought femininity was the surface level stuff.
Yeah.
Cooking, cleaning, smelling good, looking good, whatever it was, you know? And then as I got older, I started to experience enough, like, that's not what's going to make a man stay.
No.
Like, that's
and
not.
And your looks are not it. And the outer is temporary.
I'm reading a book right now. I was telling you off camera, right? But it's called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Okay. Yes. Anybody that's listening right now, if you're like, if you don't think that you're into reading, I could tell you, I'm one that I have a lot of things going on. You know, you know how it is being a girl boss and having your own business and everything. Our mind's constantly on go.
Right.
So I didn't know how to shut that off. And I wanted peace internally within myself. So I picked up a book. I started reading, right?
I love that.
And this book tells you the difference between, you know, masculinity and femininity.
Okay.
Right? So when I started reading this book, they gave a really, really good example of how to be able to trust masculinity, right?
Okay.
So they gave the example of a knight in shining armor, right?
Okay.
So the dragon comes to the castle and the knight in shining armor has to slay the dragon, right? Mm-hmm. So the first time he takes it upon himself to bring out his sword, he slays the dragon and the whole town rejoices. It's in the book, right? And he feels like he did something because he thought of the sword and he brought it out and he slayed the dragon. But then the second time, the princess thinks she's doing something by telling him, like, no, grab the poison, kill him with that. So him loving his partner,
he listens to her.
He grabs the poison, and when he slays the dragon, the whole town rejoices, but he doesn't feel like he did anything because he's like, she told me to do that, right? So then the third time, another dragon comes and he's going to go pull out the poison. And she's like, no, use whatever else she tells him, right? Uh-huh. That they said in the book. And again, the town rejoices and he still feels like he didn't do anything.
Because it wasn't his way.
Because it wasn't. Yeah. And she thought she was nourishing him or nurturing him.
You know,
sorry.
We're guilty of that as women, where we think that but I think this is a thing. We think we're coming at it in a good way, right? Like we think we're helping, right? But in reality, we're not allowing the man to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. Or allowing the person to lead. We're taking control. And because they want to make us happy, they listen. Mm-hmm. But that's not what's making them happy, though.
No.
So at that point, it becomes a lot about what we want. And they're catering to us. They're doing what we want them to
but
do.
But where are we giving them the
exactly.
same respect?
Exactly. So it's about, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, it's do what I say, right? And I don't know if that saying of happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
To an extent now.
To an extent.
Yeah.
I think it's best to be able to live in harmony. I think it's best.
I agree with you.
To be able to meet each other in the middle.
Yeah.
And respect both sides.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, for example, you know, from our perspective, it's like, okay, we want to receive love through, you know, respecting our emotions. Sometimes we just want to be listened to.
Yeah.
I feel like the way that a man works, right, and from what I'm reading in the book, is that we can have 10 different problems at once, and we're not looking for a solution. We just want to be able to vent, get
just
it
listen.
Off our chin. Yeah.
Just listen. Don't even tell me how to fix it.
No.
I just want you to listen.
Want you to listen, right? But the way that they work is that when you're coming at them with 10 different problems, they feel validation through problem solving. That's what they want to do.
Okay.
So they want to problem solve. So when you're coming at them with 10 different problems, their brain's in overdrive because they're trying to solve each problem you're bringing up.
Yes.
And they don't realize sometimes we're just looking to have a lending ear. We're not looking for a solution.
Okay.
But then when it's opposite, right? Let's say a man has a problem, right? Or something that they want to resolve. They tend to kind of go into their cave. And by cave, I mean like their thoughts. They kind of like not isolate themselves, but they kind of need a little bit of moment of reflection. You know, like, how am I going to resolve this?
Right.
And we take it so personal. We're like, hey, what's wrong?
Why aren't you talking to me?
Yeah. Why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you doing this? And it's like, dude, I'm trying to solve what's in my head. And then I have you here now being upset. So now I got two problems.
Yeah.
And
all because I don't know how to tell you that I have all these problems I'm trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not communicating that with you because I'm not. I mean, let's be honest. Men, they're not that comfortable to be open and vulnerable like that.
Because that's not how they're programmed.
Correct.
They're not sometimes to them the way. And like, again, kind of going back to the book, the way that they are when the examples that it gives us in the book is like the way that they are in Mars is like. They see it as a sign of weakness. When they have an issue, they keep it to themselves, find a resolution. And then once they solve it, like how I went back to the book and, you know, the slaying the dragon and all that. Once they're able to resolve it, then they feel that validation within themselves because they fixed it. Versus women, the way we are back to the book, the way that we are on Venus is like, we want to be able to talk about it. We want to be able to, we're not looking for a solution right away. We just want to be able to talk about it.
We want to get it off our chest.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's honestly in order to live in harmony, we have to be able to respect both masculine and then respect feminine energy and also hold ourselves accountable to where sometimes we overplay our part. Because again, when we're not receiving what we would like to, we give it. thinking that, oh, that's going to be reciprocated in that way.
Correct.
But that's not how they're programmed.
No.
They probably show it in other ways, whether it was like, hey, you know, I heard yesterday, you know, you were having a bad day or whatever it is. It's like your back was hurting. You know, today I'm going to give you a massage. They can't solve all 10 problems. But then instead we're like, I don't need a back massage. I need someone to help me clean the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude.
I'm trying to get at the, I think what it is that we sit here and we're focused on what we want, right? That we don't sit here and take into what they're offering either, though,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're so caught up on, but I have so much going on and I have so much on my plate and you're not helping that. But mm-hmm. they're offering a solution in different ways that they think they can. Just kind of like how we sit here and we think we're helping, but we're overpouring, mm-hmm. right? So I think, would you say that that's a lot of, it's, how would we... in a relationship, right? If we were to get into another relationship. Now, I mean, I think now I know what I'm looking for, right? And I know what I want. And I've grown and I've evolved and I've self-reflected a lot. But how would you suggest they come about it in a relationship when it comes down to like this, right? Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Is it knowing the other person's love language? Do you get what I'm
saying? I think it's being able to respect masculinity.
Okay.
And how you're able to do that is embracing your feminine energy. And how you would go about that, right,
yeah.
is, okay, so a lot of times women, we feel undeserving of love. So what do? We overpour.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Because then over time, you're going to grow resentment towards that person.
Yes.
So if you want to receive, mm-hmm. allow room in your cup to receive. So to answer the question, it's like, don't overplay your part. Allow him, surrender.
I love that.
Be vulnerable, you know? And if you don't know how, right? Because a lot of us don't.
We don't know how.
First, I would say it's really important in any relationship, right? I don't know if, like, when you got married, a lot of people told you, like, keep God at the center of your marriage. And it's like, that's how you're able to navigate better. Because when you keep, and this isn't, I know this isn't a podcast about religion, nothing like that, right? But you got to believe
in something. No, but maybe faith is... what we lead with here.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like, if you can lead yourself with faith, then that'll pour into your relationship.
100%.
And when you operate from a place of faith, it removes all things that the enemy loves, which is ego, pride, and things that really don't benefit you. But yeah. if you're able to embrace your faith, surrender, if you can surrender to God, you can surrender to your partner. And if you can be in your faith, then you know how to be in tune with your intuition as well.
I agree.
So it's like, I think
they both play a role. Honestly, when I started submitting myself to my faith and when I started learning about myself and my intuition and how big of a role it plays, I am able to look at things a whole lot different. But I use both to me, right? Mm-hmm. I speak to God and then I trust my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, when you have that combination and you've learned to use it, there is nothing that you won't be able to look at, whether it's real, fake, fraud. You're able to see things mm-hmm. so much clearly and differently.
And if it's ever where a woman's put in a situation where her femininity cannot thrive because she's not trusting the person that she's with.
Correct.
You don't got to go toe-to-toe with that person.
No.
You just got to remove access. Honestly, just... let things be where they're at, because God will lead you to somebody better, you know, or something that's
beautiful
meant for
that
you.
Said that, honestly, because I remember at the beginning of my stages of, you know, when I first started dating, right, I was still leading with that. And because I was on survival, let's mm-hmm. be honest, I was on survival and I was leading with ego. I was leading with pride. I was leading with, no, you're going to text me first. No, you're going to do this. And mm-hmm. it was a lot of, I think, what I see a lot on social media is going on. And now that I've done the work and I've seen it, and I mean, the work is done every day. It's a life. Like I said, it's a lifestyle, right? It's not something that is just a one fix. No. But I realized that in order for me to be in my true soft femininity and be that woman that I know that I can be, right, for the right person, I have to walk in that. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that I have to, how would I say it? I'm not going to sit here and be,
I don't like completely say, surrender.
Correct. Like, correct.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not going to completely surrender and be like, yeah, just whoever comes
you
in.
Know.
No, I'm actually, you know what? I'm more selective.
Yeah.
I'm more. in tune with my intuition, and I can see the flags. I can see if I like, I walk different than when I first started dating, right? Because I didn't know that part about me either. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I reflected and I looked back at, I was never really in my feminine. I was always leaning with masculine, even regardless of what my relationship was, right? I never gave him a chance. So I know I played a part in that as well.
Yeah.
You get me?
I'm good.
I played
too.
A part in what, in everything that he did. Was it right? Of course not. But I wasn't there. He was probably battling so many demons and so many things within him, but I wasn't someone to be there for him. I was just, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not, and I'm guilty of that 100%. So I had to look back and take, and like you said, with grace, not blame myself.
No.
No, I'm not going to blame myself for what I went through. And I think that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what I went through, right?
Same with my situation. Right. I honestly, I don't have any regrets because it allowed me to learn.
100%.
But also too, I had to learn how to forgive myself because I was way younger back then.
Yes.
So I'm going to be 28. Like, turning 28 has really opened up my eyes. I'm like, I'm tired. Like,
okay.
I want to surrender myself. I want to surrender my heart. I want to surrender my worries. I want to surrender my anxiety to God. And when I can surrender that to him, then I'm able to let go of that control that I so desperately wanted for so long.
Yeah.
Because then when I had it, it got me nowhere. I ended up seeing in the long run that God's timing, God's plan works out the way that not he sees you want. How he sees fits you best.
It's not what you want, it's what you need.
What you need.
Right?
And when you need it.
And when you need it. And it's crazy you say that because I just right now, you saying that, right, made me realize that when I surrendered to God and I told him, God, I can't take any more of what I have going on. And when I said, let God and let go, right, I truly did that. And I'll tell you this, he's been leading I'm behind the wheel and he's just taking, he's driving. And to be honest with you, my faith has never been stronger, and there's nothing that I will not, and I have not overcame if it hadn't been for me surrendering.
And in order for a lot of people, especially women, or just honestly anybody nowadays, I think it takes time, reflection, and discernment.
A lot of discernment.
A lot of discernment. And like, I didn't know what that looked like when I was younger because I think you
get so... I don't even think we know what that is, to be honest. Because if I look at... I recently learned what living on survival is. Because I was in it, you know, I learned what fight or flight was. I didn't know all that stuff
but
back
bet,
in the day.
But I bet you learned more about yourself when you no longer had... Okay, like, yes, he played a part in...
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll say like he played a part in your suffering, right?
Yeah.
But when he was no longer there, you realized that there were some still things you needed to fix about yourself.
100%.
And there were still some things you needed to surrender.
You sit there with yourself and you sit here and you think and you dissect and you look at absolutely everything and you get to know yourself.
Yeah, you get to know
yourself. On a deeper level.
And you get to know that you want to thrive in your femininity.
Yes.
So in order to do that, it was like, okay, I want to be in tune with that. So how can I be in tune with it? And it's not overplaying my part and respecting that masculine energy. But also, too, like, for anybody that's listening and they think, like, oh, they got it down. It's like, no. Like, no, I didn't have it down. Like, you would have tried to tell me this 2 years ago. I would have been like, screw that. Like, I'm doing this. I'm paying for that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then when they were no longer there, I was like, girl, guess what? You're still doing that.
You're still doing that. Yes.
And like, and where is that getting you? You're still in survival.
You're still in survival mode.
You're still not embracing your femininity.
Yeah.
So who do you have to blame now? And that's when I was like, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, again, when you're younger, you're more naive to think like you can always have that stamina in your survival mode.
Yes. But no, you don't. And I think it's funny, you know, because we filmed in your podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Where we were talking about. And the one that I'll never forget is like, you know, I changed my tire, right?
Yeah.
And we had so many comments and I don't think that they were truly understanding what we were talking about.
No.
And I think that we weren't directing, we directed the message the way that we did,
yeah.
right? But I think that people misunderstood that I think, and this is great. This is a great episode because you defined femininity and then masculinity in such an amazing way where this is what we mean.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the surface level. Of changing my tire and pumping my gas. We're talking about like them being in their masculine energy to want to do that for us, and we're allowing it.
To lead.
Exactly.
And how can you, because again, back to the book, it says that, okay, like, how can you kind of encourage a man to lead and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's by admiration.
Yes.
It's by, like, instead of focusing on all the things that they don't do, focus on the things that they are doing.
And be grateful. I think it's as simple, thanks, babe, for doing that. Thanks for cleaning the backyard. Thank you for taking my gas to get filled. You know, it's,
yeah,
honestly, it's not that hard to.
But because that's where I have to take accountability.
Okay.
Or a lot of women do. Sometimes we're very self-centered and not receiving things how we would want to, instead of appreciating the things that do come our way. So, like, I think with time and, of course, experiences, life has really, really humbled me, you know? And I think one thing that really, like, humbled me, and I look back on now, right, is, like, there was a time where, yeah, like, I had my business and stuff. So it allowed me, which I never minded. I never minded, okay, by the way, okay? Like, I never minded being able to provide. But I had, looking back now, though, even though I didn't have bad intentions and I never minded providing, right? Because God gave me that blessing.
Yes.
God gave me this business, and yes, he took it where it's at now even. But I saw nothing wrong in me being able to provide, right?
And I think that's because we're also used to that and the way that we were brought up, though, too. Because let's be honest, I think a lot of that has to do with that, right? If they come from a household where there's a mom and a dad, and they see that the mom, you know, is a stay-at-home wife and the dad's providing, that's going to be different. That's,
you know what? I think more so there are those cases where, mm-hmm, they get to see the dad provide and the mom stay at home, mm-hmm, or they get to see just the mom providing all the time. So it encourages that desire for them to want to provide even more, right? And
yes,
that was like my case. And
okay,
pretty much like kind of like where I was going with this was that, like, when I was providing, right, I was playing a part in my own suffering because I was also giving the love that I thought I wanted to receive, which was surface level femininity.
Okay.
Which was like cooking, cleaning, yeah, and, you know, doing those
I'm
acts
doing
of
my
love.
Job.
Yeah, I'm doing,
yeah,
my job, yeah, right? That I didn't embrace, like, the small stuff. So I think now there are women that, believe it or not, they do crave the surface level, or maybe they're just not educated with the fact that there is a deeper level of masculinity.
Correct.
Than just surface level,
yeah,
right? Back to the surface level, what it is like having money, the materialistic things, nice cars, being able to spend money, like all that stuff, jewelry, whatever it is,
and
right?
You know what, I see that a lot with this generation where that it's, and I think because of social media that hyped that up a lot.
Oh,
right?
For sure. But when you're able to sit in your faith a little bit more, mm-hmm, right? And you're able to be vulnerable and surrender and give it to God and reflect, and the discernment, right, comes, mm-hmm, in, right? There was something that, like, back then that now it's crazy. So, like, guys nowadays don't really give flowers, right?
No.
So, like, this person used to make me bouquets, mm-hmm, right? And I can honestly
That's
say...
even more thoughtful, friend, because they went and picked different ones and they... You know, like,
and
it takes...
Instead of appreciating the creativity, right?
Yeah,
and
why didn't you buy me a Ramo Buchon?
Or I was just like, well, no, I'd rather have this paid or that paid. And it's like, looking back now, it's like, I'm paying those bills anyways. I would love a bouquet made by hand, you know? So it's just like, it's just learning, though,
it's
you
basically,
know?
Okay, so they took it away, and then you're still like, dang,
yeah,
like, I'm doing the same thing.
I'm doing the same
except
thing.
Except that I don't got no flowers
and
now.
I didn't appreciate
and think about it.
Yeah. But also, too, back to, like, the no regret part, because it took me experiencing that. It took me living life. It took me setting time with myself. It took me surrendering to God. It took me wanting to be vulnerable, and it took me getting tired. Sometimes people are like, well, how do I surrender?
Yeah.
As long as you got energy, ego, pride, you're never going to be willing
no,
to surrender.
You think you're
get tired,
yeah,
you're forced to surrender. And that's the difference. It's like, a lot of people don't know how to surrender. And like I said, when you're leading with ego, pride, and all these things that are not driven by faith,
right?
Well, what ends up happening? You end up either taking yourself to self-destruction, or you end up getting to a point where you're so tired that you're forced to surrender.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where a lot of this generation is at.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people forgot like the core values of a real relationship and the roles of a real relationship.
Or how to walk away when it's not. Walk away when it's not.
Because they take too much.
Women sometimes, and like I've been like guilty of that too, where sometimes you want a person to see your value.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, how to thrive in your feminine energy is like, you got to see your value, but not with ego.
Not with pride. No.
You have to be able to see your value and see yourself. It's crazy. I have a devotional right now, right? And it talks about being able to see yourself the way that God sees you.
Okay.
And that's really hard, right? Because we are our worst critic, right? But when I'm able to, in the slightest bit, try to see myself the way that God created me, that's where I'm able to have a little bit more, like, I feel more valuable.
Okay.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't feel, and this is the difference. I can accept a compliment, but I don't feel I have value because I have a nice house, because I have a nice car, because I have a business. Because again, that's just surface level survival. To me, I feel when I have value, when I'm surrendering my problems to God, when I'm able to be vulnerable, when I'm able to say, hey, you know what? I messed up here, but be gracious with myself enough to say, you know what? I don't regret that because I learned. So it's discernment. It's a balance and a harmony. 100%.
Friend, you know what? It went from me having to close my business, not have a home. I'm back at home, you know, living with my family, starting my life completely over, for me to truly understand the value of what I bring, not what I had accomplished. No. And what I had built.
Because
right?
You're still valuable.
100%.
Without all these things.
And I remember, like, you know, after I closed my business, months after, and I was like, dang, like, I felt lost. I'm not going to lie to you. I was like, who am I? What am I? I don't have my business. I mean, yeah, I have my business that, you know, but I don't have my studio. I'm not this person. And I'll be honest with you, God stripped me from everything to put me to where I'm at right now, because I needed to learn who I truly am as a woman and what I bring and who I seen is, right? Yeah. And it's not the surface level, like you said, and the successes that I've had is who am I as a person and what do I bring internally, right?
Yeah.
And it's beyond surface level. And now that I know who she is and how she loves, right? And now that I was able to look back, you did that too. I feel like the next person, whenever God does bring me that, and I'm not in a rush at all, I will be ready for that person.
And you'll learn to appreciate
it. And I will learn to appreciate, and I will be able to be in my femininity, and he will be in his masculinity, and it would be, like you said, in harmony relationship.
Yeah. I think because it took you time to also be able to respect and see the difference between, you know, I know a lot of people use the word, you know, toxicity or toxic pretty loosely, right? But that was where you're at.
I was there for 13 years. So to me, that was my norm.
And
right?
Also too, like, I mean, of course, the emotional attachment, the trauma bond, everything, you know, like
father of my kids, family. Yeah.
Who doesn't want to make that work? But I think it's also being able to like learn that when we play a part in our own suffering.
Because
like you said, you just stated right now, God stripped me away from everything in order for me to see who I truly am. And in that moment when you probably felt like you felt lost, right?
Yeah.
You had to surrender to him, right? And
you know what, that I think about it, because I'm thinking about when I surrendered. I'm dissecting everything you're telling me, right? And I was at my worst. I couldn't take it anymore. It was something that whatever I'm doing is not working and I'm just trying to survive. But it was, I remember him saying, well, are you going to allow me to just leave? Do you have enough faith in me to surrender everything that you have going on and trust in me?
Yeah.
And the moment I did that, everything's different now. I don't stress as much. I don't have anxiety. Like, I don't lead with that. I don't lead with survival. I don't lead in my masculine. I'm able to turn, you know, I'm a single mom of two, so I have that naturally in me, right? But I know when to turn it off.
You know what's crazy is, like, with everything that you've been through, right? Because, like, I've seen it on social media. You're very open with it, too. And you know what's crazy is, like, I think a turning point for me, you know, turning 28, I think a turning point too, I was talking about it with my client today. I was telling her, like, turning 28 in a few years, right? I would love to have a family, right? And if you were to ask me prior to this point in my life, would you ever want a daughter? I would tell you, hell no, I would not want a daughter, right? But I had to realize, like, I had to realize, well, why? And it's because I haven't healed part of myself that has allowed me to thrive in my feminine energy.
Okay.
So then when I have, if I were to be blessed with a daughter and I don't heal this part of me, I feel like I'm going to pass that on and I'm going to teach my daughter more of survival than I am going to teach her feminine energy and like, or just how to thrive in your femininity. Like, I'm not going to be able to teach her that because all they're going to have is the example. And that's something that even in the beginning of this episode, we were talking about, like, oh, well, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. And it's like, If you ask me now, after I were to heal that part of me, would I want one? I would say, yeah, once I heal that part of me, because I'll be able to give her all the things I didn't have. And it's like the fact that you have two daughters and you're raising them in the midst of your learning process, I think is the most vulnerable thing you can do. But also, too, now you've learned to, like, surrender. And so that next time, right?
Friend. Let me tell you, yes, I thought about that. I thought I have two little women that are going to be big women, right? And I don't want them to be in survival and to be like strong like me and my mother. And I want them to be in their femininity and I want them to have a relationship where they understand their role. And I don't want them, what they saw their mom go through, harden what they, and I'll be honest with you, my little one for the longest was like, I'm not getting married.
Ooh.
I swear to you, she was like, because I was like, well, you know, when you get older and you have kids, I'm not getting married.
You ever seen that movie? It's like, oh, that's some scary shit.
You're good. And I was like, no. And the first time she said it, I was like, no, don't say that. And I was like, why are you saying, you know what, baby? It didn't work out between mom and dad, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to work out for you. It's we were just not meant to be, right? And And she was like that for the longest time. And I was like, I don't want them to think that, I don't want their image of marriage or a partner to be tainted because me and him didn't work out. So I have to do, I don't want to say more work, but it felt like it, right? Yeah. Where like I seen you have to get in tune with healing. And like I was saying in my previous episode, I felt like I needed to fix myself. And how do I fix? I seen for her to be able to run her household, right? For me to be able to be present for my kids, not only as a strong, independent woman, right? But no, feminine with emotion, love, patience, kindness, and allowing them to see that I'm vulnerable because my kids always saw me as I'm strong. And they're like, dang, mom. Like, so I remember the first time that my kids saw me crying. That was crazy. And their look in their face was like, dang, like, she's human. Yeah. You know, like, mom, you okay? And like, I'll never forget how worried they were. And I was like, you know what? Like, and my therapist told me it's okay to show your children vulnerability.
Yeah.
You're not a robot.
That is in, again, how we said, like, femininity, you have to be vulnerable.
Yes.
You have to surrender and you have to be submissive.
Yes.
But I think over time and definitely with trials and tribulations and error and, you know, just experience in general, you get to realize, like, where to pay attention to your intuition and be like, okay, you know what? If this isn't safe for me, I can easily remove myself instead of having to be combative because I don't ever think that feminine and masculine energy were meant to be combative.
No.
I think they were meant to live in harmony. Sure. But in order for it to live in harmony, we have to be able to respect their masculine energy, the difference between surface level and you know, internal. Yes. And also, too, be able to give ourselves that respect and not play a part in our own suffering.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's where it all ties in together.
It does.
You know?
It does.
I think that I hope, and anybody that's like listening too, whether that be the audience, whether that be your daughters you want to set an example for, I spent so long in my 20s, now that I'm turning 28, I spent so long in my 20s not surrendering and not being able to live outside of my survival, mm-hmm. that like the last bit of my 20s, like I want to be able to enjoy that. I want to have a balance of femininity, being able to accept it, being able to pay attention to when my intuition, when it tells me like, this isn't a safe place, mm-hmm. and that's okay. You've been able to establish stability for yourself.
Yeah.
So just remove yourself.
Yes.
You know, instead of being combative.
And that's amazing, because I'll tell you this, my daughter's like, I've had situations, right, where I've had to be, it could have been gone where combativeness was. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, because she's used to seeing that. Okay, my oldest one is like, well, why didn't you tell them something? Because she's used to her mom always saying something. And I was like, you know what? Because that's not the way that I want to handle things. That's not mm-hmm. what, as women, we do. We don't get combative. We don't get in each other. We don't do that. We, you know what a real woman does? She walks away, because that's actually, if you think about it, that's stronger to do than to tell how you really feel.
Yeah.
It's easy to be like, well, I'm going to tell you, right? And but it's so much harder to walk away. But you do understand the power of walking away?
It's like you said, it's easier to sit there and get things off your chest.
Yeah.
But it's harder to be able to walk away and going back to faith. Just surrender to God. If alguien no te cae bien or something's going on, right? Mm-hmm. I dislike this person, or this person's always been an issue or whatever, you know? I don't have to sit there and be combative with you.
No.
Instead, I just honestly
remove
myself and release it. Yeah. Release it, surrender it.
And I'm not going to sit with it. And I learned, because in my relationship, I had a lot of resentment, right? And I carried that for so long. I learned that I don't want to live the rest of my life here on this earth carrying something, mm-hmm. whether it's trauma, whether it's hate, whether it's, you know, I can't do that. It's just not in my heart to do that.
When you're like that, I feel like you leave no room for masculine energy.
No.
Because you're...
At that point, you're kind of closing your own blessings, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Because you're choosing negativity to overpower what could be something so beautiful in the future. And even, I feel like, you know, people come into your life for a season, and there's always a reason. And I believe that every person that comes into your life is a purpose, or you learn something.
Or a lesson.
Or a lesson, mm-hmm. right? And even if, an example, if you're dating and that person's not the one, what'd you learn from it, though? Mm-hmm. Right? It's not, oh, well, he hurt me and I'm never going to date again. No. What'd you learn? And what are you going to apply? Or what did you learn about yourself?
That's right? What I was about to tell you. What do you learn about yourself?
Exactly. So it's kind of like, don't take it as like, well, because of that person, they tend to me again, and I gave so many men mm-hmm. a chance, and I dated, and it's not working out for me. But you're not, you're to me, it's like you're dating to get to know not only you, right? But to get to know other people. If you're in a rush to get in a relationship, you're not ready.
No. Not only that, but I just think too, like, if you are carrying yourself like that and you're tainted, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, back to the topic, it takes away from your femininity.
It does, because you don't have room for that.
And then when the next person comes along, wherever they try to display their masculinity, you're not willing to receive it, because you're not able to appreciate that, hey, you know what? Maybe he didn't clean the house 3 times this week, but he was able to display his love in other ways, you know? And then you're able to admire that and leave more room for yourself to receive.
Right.
So I think it's just definitely about a balance, like living in harmony and walking into, like how you said, once you turn that page of a new age, a new birthday, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're able to reflect and just be gracious with yourself. Yeah. I think that's like the most important, is like anybody that's listening that they're like, well, how do I thrive in my femininity? It's like mm-hmm. time experiences for sure. But then eventually you get tired, you surrender, and you see that whether it's people, your daughters that are looking at you when this is happening, you also have to not only be an example for, in this, your case, your daughters, mm-hmm. you have to be an example for yourself, because you don't want to continue to live life like that.
Correct.
So it's like, I think it's just back to just being in harmony and learning and having discernment and being vulnerable and being able to be submit, surrender.
Yes.
You know? So I think that like this topic, for anybody that's listening, it's like, maybe they needed to hear it. Maybe they needed to be gracious with themselves.
I hope that we touched somebody, you know, and I hope that we were able to relay our message across. I think you did great thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. I truly appreciate it. Thank you for, you know, creating a safe place, you know, for me to be able to be vulnerable and like just thrive in my femininity too. I see you and I
mean, if you think about it, how much we've grown since we've met each other and just to see, you know, where we're at. And I have to say that you're an inspiration and thank you so much for coming on here and, you know, giving us a little bit of, you know, the knowledge that you share. And
I just want to
happy birthday.
Thanks,
to
guys.
You.
Happy it's gonna be, birthday. I'm excited. Yeah. It's going to be pretty cool.
For you.
I just want to enjoy the simple blessings of life. I want to be in gratitude with everything that God has given me. And just
okay, what are we thinking about 28? What are we thinking about reaching 28?
28. I think it's just about accepting that I am no longer in control and that God's timing, God's purpose, everything that he gives me and when he gives me is with the purpose to be able to fulfill my cup. And I want to truly surrender to him. I don't want to be full of resentment. I don't want to be full of anything. And whatever that transpires as far as my career goes, as far as my personal life goes, whatever, I know that he's allowing me to receive that because it's being led by him, because I'm leading in my faith.
I love that.
That's a two-way street with me and him, you know?
Yeah,
me and
sure.
Papa Dios, like,
yeah,
we locked in.
Me
we
for sure.
locked in. But no, thank you so much, really, though. Thank you so much for having
for
me on this podcast and allowing
me
to be vulnerable.
Everybody, tune in. Throw them be the podcast.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you're missing out, okay? Self-care by Ash.
Yeah.
We all know.
If you guys need a Brazilian wax, whatever it is up in IE, just come
the
see
best.
Me.
But no. If y'all look at her stories, Gucci's be looking so good.
No, but honestly, in all reality, just thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you for being my first guest.
Yes, of course.
And allowing me to be host.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. You made it comfortable. Thank
this
you.
This flowed really naturally. And I hope at least one person can take something out of this episode.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
And with that said, thank you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for the subscriptions, the follows, the likes, the shares. We appreciate each one. Let us know what you thought about it. Leave us a review. And if there's any topics you guys want to talk about, please let us know. Stay tuned for the Horizon Community events. We're going to be having them once a month. And I'll keep you guys in touch with what we're going to have coming up. But if not, stay tuned to our TikToks and our Instagram. You'll see them in our stories. Thank you, guys.
Peace out.